Your speaker is Winfred Claiborne of Fayetteville, Tennessee.
Thank you very much. Have you ever thought of New Testament Christianity as being a joyful religion? Or do you think the restrictions God has placed on the lives of His people make them sour, long-faced, and unhappy? Would it surprise you that one of the most beautiful and inspiring books in the New Testament uses some form of the word joy in every chapter? In fact, some form of the word is used 13 times in a little book of just 4 chapters. Would you get the impression from the repeated use of the word that the author thought Christians had good reasons for rejoicing? I shall not take the time today to read all the 13 verses from the Philippian letter, but I do want to read a few of them to you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Philippians 1, 25 and 26. Therefore, my dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Philippians 4, 1 and 4. I want to dwell today on one other verse from the Philippian letter. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Philippians 3, 1. I can understand how Christians and others could rejoice when they are on top of the world, figuratively speaking, when they are financially secure, physically strong, and emotionally stable, when they are not having to suffer for their faith in Christ and their adherence to His will. But how can we rejoice when we are suffering a terminal illness, when our family has fallen apart, when the nation is going to the dogs, or when we think it is going to the dogs, when the church is being ridiculed by virtually everyone in our society, and when we are financially strapped and do not know how we will meet our obligations? Are we able to rejoice when the world seems to be against us? My friends, do you have any idea where Paul was when he wrote these words about rejoicing to the church at Philippi? He was in a Roman prison, and chances are very good that his prison was not quite so modern as some of the prisons in this nation. Yet this great man of God could rejoice and urge his brothers and sisters in Christ to rejoice. He wrote as follows to the Philippians, "Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all." Philippians 2:17. Incidentally, dear friends, rejoicing in the Lord does not involve laughing hysterically, falling on the floor and rolling around, barking like dogs, and making noises like cows. There is no evidence in the New Testament that God's children ever behaved in such a bizarre fashion. Joy may even manifest itself in tears. Tears on behalf of the lost or the saved. That may sound like a contradiction, that joyful people may actually shed tears. But there is no question about its truthfulness. Do you believe Paul endured his beatings, his imprisonment, his separation from the churches and people he loved without any tears? But if he shed tears, and he unquestionably did, they were tears of joy that he was counted worthy to suffer for the name of Jesus Christ. Paul wrote as follows to the Corinthians, "For out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote unto you with many tears, not that you should be grieved, but that you might know the love which I have more abundantly unto you." 2 Corinthians 2:4. Incidentally, the tense of the verb rejoice in our text is present active imperative and can be rendered keep on rejoicing. My friends, we thank you for listening. May God richly bless you.